Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org.
Our state capitol report continues in this half hour with Democratic candidate for Wisconsin Governor Mary Burke. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:36 on this Monday, March 17th. We'll welcome your question for Mary Burke, and we want to get to as many of your calls as we can. So please, one question, not a speech or a list of questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Mary Burke is a member of the Madison School Board, a former executive with the Trek Bicycle Company, and a former Wisconsin Secretary of Commerce. And she is a Democratic candidate for governor. She joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Morning, Joy.
Thanks so much for being with us. Well, this is the first time that we have been able to talk to you on our call-in show here since you announced your candidacy. Why are you running for governor?
Well, Joy, I get asked that a lot, and it's pretty simple. I love Wisconsin. We're a great state. We have great people, and I believe we have so much potential. But I'm concerned about the direction we're heading, and I think we really have to be realistic and say our economy is lagging. It's lagging the rest of the nation. It's lagging states around us, and we have to do things differently if we're going to create the opportunities for people to be able to support themselves and their families, to have a strong middle class, which drives the economy. We have to be investing in education. And we need leadership that brings us together, because that's how we do our best work. And that's how we can overcome the challenges. And, you know, what we see now in Washington, and we see it in Madison, is this divisiveness that basically pits people against each other, tears us apart. That's not how we're going to move Wisconsin forward. And I'm a fourth generation Wisconsinite. My great grandparents were farmers. My grandfather delivered the mail. And I just believe very passionately in our state and about the potential we have and that the values that we hold very dear here.
So why do you hold Governor Walker responsible for the divisiveness or the lagging economy?
Well, certainly the divisiveness over it really was a result of Act 10, and it has had an impact on our economy. We're growing at half the national rate since he has taken office. That's something that's tens of thousands of jobs, and it has a big impact on our economy. But the issues in Wisconsin go back further than that. We have had an economy that hasn't made the transition to making sure that we are really well positioned for the future, and we have to make those changes.
A Rasmussen poll came out late last week that showed you and Governor Walker tied at 45%. The Marquette University Law School poll at the end of January had Walker leading you 47-41%. To what do you attribute this tightening of the race?
Well, I think it's going to be a tight race, and certainly polls go up and down. But I would not have gotten into this if I didn't think I was going to win. And I hear it from people all around the state as I travel. So I don't think I needed a poll to know how tight this race was going to be. It is very divided in Wisconsin, but I'm committed to doing whatever I need to do to make sure that the people of Wisconsin get to know me, get to know what I stand for, and get to know the type of governor that I would be.
In response to the emails and documents that were released from the John Doe investigation of Governor Walker's aides, you said that he set a low bar for campaign ethics. Elaborate for us.
As I mentioned, you know, I hold dear the values that we hold dear here in Wisconsin, and I think those are about trust and honesty and about a high sense of ethics, and we should demand that. We should expect it from our elected officials, and I think that Governor Walker still has to answer questions that people have about his knowledge surrounding the email system, but I also think that what is shown through these 27,000 pages of emails is that there was certainly, you know, there was a a line that was crossed. Six people were convicted that were associated with him and his campaign. And as governor, I want to make sure I restore the trust, the honesty, the transparency, the belief that people have in good government.
The Republican Governors Association pointed out that you hired Tanya Bjork, who was convicted of two misdemeanors for altering public records and soliciting campaign funds at the Capitol. How is that different than the governor's aides?
Well, Tanya, the work that she did that caused that situation was over 10 years ago, and she admitted wrongdoing. She did a community service in order to pay for that, and she has had a strong track record since that time in terms of honesty and transparency and good work.
The Republican Governors Association also has come out with a couple of different hard-hitting ads going after you, and especially your record as Commerce Secretary with Governor Doyle, in essence saying things like the state lost 130,000 jobs or something under your tenure. What's your response to those ads?
Well, they're lies. When I was Commerce Secretary, we had 73,000 more jobs than we have currently. The unemployment rate was 4.8%. Sometimes it feels like the Republican Governors Association and Governor Walker thinks they're running against Governor Doyle rather than me. I was proud of my tenure at the Department of Commerce. It was a little bit less than 3 years, but I have a 30-year track record, mostly in the private sector, of taking on challenges, of bringing people together to solve problems, and that is what I bring to this governor's race. And it is, again, someone who has a very different track record and one that is a career politician. So I just approach this very differently.
Yeah, the PolitiFact rated one of your claims in one of your ads as being a pants-on-fire claim, meaning that it was ridiculously false, that you said that unemployment has gone up with Governor Walker in office to 6.2%. I believe you were comparing it to when you were Commerce Secretary, what unemployment was there. But I think they were saying that that was misleading, that since Governor Walker took office, unemployment really has gone down. Your response to explain the claim you made and your response to being called a pants on fire claim.
Well, the ad that I ran is in response to claims, misleading claims, lies from the Republican Governors Association's ads. And my unemployment, the unemployment when I was Commerce Secretary was 4.8%. It's currently 6.2%. I think that's up in anyone's book.
Yeah, the unemployment numbers came out last week, and it's down now to 6.1%. Is the economy starting to chug along in Wisconsin?
No, I would say that's very misleading. In fact, we didn't create one new job in that time period. And the only reason unemployment went down is, unfortunately, more people are dropping out of the workforce because they're not finding opportunities. But the numbers don't tell it all. I was in Monroe a few weeks ago. I was sitting around a table in a diner talking with folks about the issues that concern them most in their lives. And one woman shared her story of her daughter, hardworking student, graduated from UW-Madison last May, and still hasn't been able to find a job. You know, we need to make sure we are creating the opportunities for our young people so they're going to stay in the state, that they're going to thrive, that they don't think about moving to Minneapolis or Chicago because we don't have those opportunities. So the numbers are one thing, but it's the stories and the concerns in people's lives that is far more meaningful.
Why is Wisconsin lagging behind other Midwestern states like Minnesota in terms of job creation?
I think part of it is due to the divisiveness over Act 10. It really unsettled our state. It unsettled the economy. It creates uncertainty. People make less investment. People have less money to spend. And that's an issue. But we have to make larger changes in our economy in terms of making sure we are investing in the future, that we are going to have strong industries, that we're creating new businesses. You know, we're 48th in the country in terms of new businesses started. And it is new businesses and small business growth that fuel economies. And that's what we need to be focusing on in the future.
Let's take a call about jobs from Mark in Iron River. Hello, Mark. Mark, you're on the air. So Mark went away. What are your plans for creating jobs in northern Wisconsin?
Well, we have to, as I had mentioned about the entrepreneurial economy, we have to make sure that we are starting new businesses. And that's not just in the southern part or in our cities. It has to be in our rural areas as well. But we need to make sure we are bolstering tourism in the state, making it more of a year-round activity. So these are not just seasonal jobs. One issue that comes up a lot in the northern part of the state is the mine. And that is a question that's on a lot of people's mind. I firmly believe that we could have balanced job creation and protecting our natural resources. There was bipartisan legislation that was being drafted and proposed that would have balanced those. It was Senator Jouk, Senator Cullen, Senator Schultz. And that would have really been a compromise to making sure that we could consider these options, but we would also have the protections needed to safeguard our air and water. But what happened was that legislation was pushed aside, and instead we adopted legislation that was largely written by a mining company that doesn't protect our natural resources, doesn't make sure that we are having that balance.
We are talking with Mary Burke, member of the Madison School Board, a former executive with the Trek Bicycle Company, former Wisconsin Secretary of Commerce, and running for governor for the state of Wisconsin. And we welcome your question for her at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is our State Capitol Report here on the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with Democratic gubernatorial candidate Mary Burke, talking about the issues in her campaign for governor and addressing your questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Okay, David in Boscobel. Let's see if we have David on the line. Hi, David.
Hi. First, a quick comment. If you look at Senator Schultz's voting record during this session, I don't know that that R is really an R, so I don't know about the bipartisan nature of the mining legislation. But my question is, with regard to Act 10, you've talked about that a lot today. If you're elected governor, would it be your intent to try and restore all those changes that were made through Act 10? And if so, where are the taxes going to come to pay for that, and how does that help job creation? Thank you.
All right, that was a list of questions, really, but that's okay. Would you repeal Act 10?
Well, in terms of Act 10, I think it was the wrong way to go. If I had been governor, I would have negotiated firmly and fairly for the changes that were needed. So, yes, I think there were changes needed. I think that it was only reasonable to ask for contributions to health care and pension, but those were on the table and could have been negotiated. So what I would do as governor now is I would work to restore collective bargaining rights, and I don't think that that stands in the way of making sure we have effective, efficient, and accountable government. But we also have to make sure that we're attracting good people to our public sectors. You know, at Trek Bicycle, as an executive there, I know that one of the reasons that Trek was so successful is because it attracts and keeps and is highly motivated by great people. And we need to make sure we have the same in our public sector. And I see that in our schools every day. If we want to have thriving students and thriving schools, we need to have thriving teachers as well. And I want to make sure that we are able to attract great people into the teaching profession, so we have great schools.
So if I'm interpreting correctly, you wouldn't necessarily work to change the employee contributions to health care and pension, but you would restore collective bargaining rights so we public employees could bargain for higher salaries?
Yes, yes, they should be able to. And we do have to make sure that our wages are competitive. So it's not only looking at benefits, but it is looking at wages as well. You have to consider the whole thing. You know, we see it in teaching right now. Fewer people are actually considering going into the teaching profession. We also have a large loss of teachers in the first 5 years of teaching. And so we have to make sure that this is a profession that attracts good people and is competitive in terms of not only its pay, but its benefits.
Yeah, would restoring collective bargaining result in higher taxes for the state of Wisconsin?
I don't think it needs to. I think you have to make sure that you are negotiating what is, you know, what is reasonable. I believe in living within the means of taxpayers. I plan as governor to hold the line on taxes. And so, no.
You would hold the line on taxes, or would you ask the wealthy to pay more for income taxes?
I wouldn't look at that. I would look at how we could save money in terms of waste and fraud and other programs that aren't working within government. But the biggest issue and the biggest way that we are going to hold the line on taxes in the long term is we need to grow our economy. If we had grown at just the national rate, I think it would have added something like $2 billion a year more into our economy. That's a huge amount of money that can act as a base for additional resources. But we have to make sure we do grow our economy. We're not going to be able to cut our way to prosperity in an economy that actually requires more and more every day a more educated workforce.
Let's go to Wesley in Fall Creek. Hi, Wesley. You're on the air.
Yes, ma'am. I'm wondering if you'd be willing to tie minimum wage to inflation so that it never gets behind again.
Well, I am in support of raising our minimum wage, and I think it's three steps to the 10-10. Governor Walker is opposed to that, and so I think it's important to make sure that people can support themselves and their families and that they don't have to rely on government assistance. And yes, I would look at indexing it.
Thanks very much, Wesley. We have a number of Facebook comments, including Donald on Facebook, who says, please ask about the debate, both in Wisconsin and in the country, regarding Common Core standards. So what's your stance on that?
Well, it's a very important debate, and Wisconsin adopted the Common Core standards, which are a framework around which students will be prepared for jobs or for college upon graduating high school. We have to make sure our young people are developing the critical thinking skills that they need in order to be prepared for jobs. And we're hearing from employers that they aren't. And in Wisconsin, our standards are something like 38th in the country. So a lot of good work has been done over the last 3 years, a lot of investment already made in our schools. And I am in strong support of the Common Core standards. We have to get Wisconsin moving. We have to make sure our young people can compete for the jobs of tomorrow. And this is, it's a big mistake for Governor Walker to look at actually taking us backwards and not having high standards. And its Common Core is only the floor. It doesn't mean that we are not going further than that, but it would be a huge step up from where we are right now.
Kate on Facebook asks, would you move the renewable energy agenda forward and how?
Well, I would certainly look at how we can move the renewable energy forward. It's they're good jobs, and it's good for our environment. And we don't want Wisconsin falling behind in terms of competing for those jobs. Those are manufacturing jobs. They're installation jobs. I talked to a man a few months ago who told me that he had a business in the solar panel business and basically was thriving, had 30-some employees. And since Governor Walker has taken office and changed our policies, he's down to three employees. So this is an impact on not only our environment, but on our jobs. And we have to make sure Wisconsin is competing for these jobs of the future.
I wanted to get you to react to some current issues in the news, including the state Senate last week changing some election laws, passing bills that would, among other things, restrict early voting, would restrict in-person absentee voting and not allow it on weekends as it currently is happening in cities like Madison and Milwaukee, saying they wanted to level the playing field that the small towns in rural Wisconsin don't have staffing to allow weekend early voting. What's your response to that legislation?
It's just clearly voter suppression. I mean, this is politics, and it's unfortunate that that gets in the way of democracy and people's right to vote. There are a lot of people who don't have the flexibility in their schedules to be able to necessarily vote on a weekday, on a Tuesday, between the normal voting hours. Maybe they're working a double shift. Maybe they have not only job but home responsibilities. Making it more convenient for people to vote to fit into their busy schedules makes good sense. And I think this is nothing other than trying to suppress the vote and take away people's freedom to vote.
Yeah. And the news that Governor Walker would call a special session if the state Supreme Court does not uphold the voter ID bill?
Well, to question our state Supreme Court, I really think that that's going in the wrong way. And again, this is putting barriers in front of people's right to vote and is nothing but putting politics in front instead of people's rights. You know, this greatly impacts students, seniors, and veterans. And it is really makes no sense and is not needed.
Well, we have just a minute to go, not even really, but you are decked out in your St. Patrick's attire today, and you are headed to Milwaukee. What's on the campaign trail today?
Well, I'm going to a luncheon that's going to celebrate business startups in the inner city. Then I'm going to be going to one of Milwaukee's great Irish luncheon spots, bars, and going to have lunch there.
Yeah, and any closing statements for our listeners as to why they should consider voting for Mary Burke and not Scott Walker?
It's about the future of our state. And if we want to be a top 10 thriving economy where we have a strong middle class, we have opportunities where people are able to work their way into the middle class, this is really something that is critical. And Wisconsin is not moving in this direction. We need to have a strong education system, which includes worker training and includes affordable access to higher education. And it makes sure that people are getting the skills that they need, and Wisconsin is getting the type of workforce it needs to compete for the jobs of tomorrow.
Well, that went fast, and we're out of time. Thanks very much for being here.
Thanks, Joy, for having me.
Mary Burke, a Democratic candidate for governor. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.